Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show here. Brian Diaz here with you on a Thursday, the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. Or if you're listening to the podcast, yes, thanks for downloading it and listening to it whenever you are. I always really appreciate that, too. If you're ever interested, you can always go check out noladrinks.com and get the podcast. We're on iTunes, Google Play. What's the other one? TuneIn Radio. You know, some of those. It's on that stuff. And always check us out there on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Hey, and if you ever have an idea for a show, something that you want us to talk about in the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond, hey, let us know. You know, make a comment on Facebook or something like that. Tweet us, that sort of thing. And we'll be happy to do that. Folks, it's a beautiful day out there today. Absolutely gorgeous. Man, you know what? We always talk about after Mardi Gras, how we move into festival season. But another thing that we move into right after Mardi Gras, really, in full tilt, is convention season. And there are, I know, a couple good-sized conventions here in town. And the reason why I know this is because I see lots of people wearing lanyards and badges walking around in the French Quarter. And there were a million people out. Okay, not literally a million, but lots of people out when I was coming through the quarter. And I usually pass through there on the way to the station, which is here in the CBD, here on Carondelet. And, well, you know, I happened to pass through one of my favorite spots, Two Jags, and grabbed a Sazerac like I do sometimes before the show. And it's always interesting because they have a lot of the cocktail tours and food tours that come through there. So today they actually had two at the same time. So it was a huge number of people. And then there was also a bachelorette party going on that came in. And they were having a lot of fun, a bunch of nice gals, young gals from Texas, and they were having a good time. But watching the whole thing go down was pretty interesting. Now, one of the weird things that I actually saw was that with the bachelorette party, a particular guy came in who, man, the guy was wearing a lot of cologne. And when you can overpower a Sazerac with the amount of cologne that you're wearing, that's something. That's something. Then he was trying to hit on one of the gals in the bachelorette party. And she said, well, I'm actually engaged and I'm getting married next week. And I said to her, I said, congratulations. Great. You know, and all of this. And he said, how serious are you with your fiance? Actually, he said, how serious are you with your boyfriend? And she said, well, that's when she said, I'm getting married next week and, you know, or next month, excuse me. And he said, well, oh, okay. Well, he said, I'll be first in line. And then he said, I'm a doctor. I'm a Jewish doctor. I have lots of money. So if you ever want to reconsider, this is what the dude's saying out the door. So the dude walks out the door and then she looks at me and like, can you absolutely believe that? Yes, I can. But wow. Wow, dude. And man, I think you should probably just walk off into the street like you did and go do what you did, because that was just weird and freakish. And this was after he tried to buy him shots and all this other kind of stuff. But anyway, always what you see going on in Two Jags. Now, here was the other interesting thing that I saw happen in Two Jags, was that one of the tour groups was talking about hot sauce. Okay, of course, we know we have Crystal hot sauce here in Louisiana and elsewhere, but, you know, popular here. And then we have Tabasco. And what the particular tour guide was saying, that all the locals always get Crystal and all the tourists always order or ask for Tabasco. And I thought, wow. I said, that's a little bit particular. I don't necessarily, hey, I like them both. I use them both. But is it really that way, friends? Is it really such that way where if you're a local, we're all about Crystal and not Tabasco and the other way around? That seems to be, I think that seems to be a bit overstating. Lots of times these cocktail and food tours are a little bit overstated. I will put it that way. I like the Tabasco Reserve hot sauce, by the way. Just check that one out. Friends, one of the topics that we've been talking about on the show quite a bit in the past few weeks is the proposed security plan, security proposals coming out of the mayor's office. And a lot of what these are, there's two or three key components that might affect bars in the service industry, things that obviously we talk about here on the NOLA Drinks Show. And one of those things is that, well, they were talking about requiring bars to close the doors at 3 a.m. Not close for business, not stop serving alcohol, but close the doors. Now, there was a huge amount of vagary in all this as far as what that meant. Did you have to stop go cups? One of the things they were talking about is that at first they were saying the police were going to sweep the streets. Now, obviously, the police can't be everywhere in every neighborhood at 3 o'clock. So what does that mean? Who are you going to target? What neighborhoods? All this kind of stuff. Then they said, no, 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 we don't mean police sweeps. We mean sanitation sweeps, like clean up cups, Okay. Then there, you know, so then there was this part about the Doors, and obviously many would rightfully argue that there is a threat to the culture of the laissez bon temps rouler, which I hate to use that expression, it's a little cliche, but that's our culture, right? And a lot of times our friends that work in the service industry, they get off at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's their afternoon. So they're going out and they're seeing their friends. So if you're talking about sort of trying to shunt this a little bit and close these doors at 3 o'clock in the morning, it just kind of, and I think rightfully so, people argue, ruins the vibe. Okay, they've scrapped that part of the plan. So we've gone from not police sweeps, we've gone to sanitation sweeps at 3, which is probably off the table. Now the doors are not being closed at the bars, and they've scrapped that. But now what's popped up, and let me back up here. These safety proposals are funded by a grant from Homeland Security, U.S. Homeland Security Department, $40 million. And part of the proposal that's still on the table is requiring bars to install. This was part that was vague before, too. People thought that they were talking about cameras inside the bars. Now they're saying cameras outside the bars, exterior cameras. But these would all feed into a quote-unquote command center there at the police station on Rampart, which is, you know, where obviously this is our police that police the quarter. Now, there were some concerns about privacy. There was all kinds of other considerations that we're talking about here. Certainly, there's plenty of studies out there and plenty of work out there, statistics out there, that crime drops off precipitously well before 3 a.m. So that part, that's kind of why that went away. But this whole thing of monitoring the cameras from a central command center does give some pause about privacy and some of these other considerations that we talk about. And, you know, we've talked, we had T. Cole Newton, who is the owner of 12 Mile Limit, on the show last week. If you're interested, you can check out the podcast there, talking about some of these concerns. That is still on the table. We'll put that aside. So that's still on the table. There's some issues with that. Check out the show from last week. We'll address it. Now, what they're also talking about is they're trying to talk about making Bourbon Street more of a pedestrian mall. I'm not against that per se, but they're also talking about putting in sidewalk furniture, planter boxes, all of these things. Somebody said it's the Disneyfication of Bourbon Street, and they want to make it more like Royal Street. Well, Bourbon Street is not Royal Street, friends. Royal Street has, yes, certainly has restaurants, has a few bars, things like that, but Royal Street is a retail district, and, you know, we have street musicians that play out there, wonderful things like that. Bourbon Street is an entertainment district, straight up. Now, they're not denying that that's part of what they want to coddle or continue to encourage, but, you know, as one resident pointed out, the Vucre Commission, which is, of course, the commission, French Quarter, that runs how development happens. So if you want to paint your house, you want to paint your building, you want to do renovation, you want to do anything, put into business, it has to be approved by the Vucre Commission. You can go Google that if you don't know what that is, if you're listening from out of town or are not familiar. And as somebody said, if you were a business or a, you know, a resident and you wanted to put, you know, essentially glorified patio furniture outside in the Vucre in the French Quarter, there is no way the commission would allow you to do that. So it seems to be this sort of sanitization of Bourbon Street. Now, look, there's a lot of stuff that happens on Bourbon Street that probably doesn't need to happen on Bourbon Street. Do we need to see all the hand grenade litter on the street at 2 o'clock in the morning? You know, those little plastic hand grenade cups? No, things like that, absolutely not. But this seems to be a fundamental shift in trying to curb something that Bourbon Street is and New Orleans is. Now, there may be some good in this. I'm not denying that some of this is not potentially positive, but part of the problem here is that this seems to be kind of a shifting plan, friends, as far as what these safety proposals are. There has been no come clean. Here's our $40 million. Here's what we're going to do with it. It just seems to be the sort of piecemeal thing. Part of it goes away. For example, as I said, closing the doors at 3 a.m., that's now off the table. The police sweeps, I guess, are now sanitation sweeps, or if those are still existing, I don't know. Maybe not on the table. How about putting out a plan for the $40 million bucks? Now, I used to work in the nonprofit industry, friends, and nonprofit sector, I'll say, for a long time. And one of the things with the nonprofit sector is that we do grants, and this is grant money. And one of the things that I learned when I did this, and I have a sneaky suspicion this starts to look like what this is, somebody says, we're going to give you $40 million. And you go, man, I can think of $20 million. A good ways to spend $20 million. Now I got to figure out ways to spend another $20 million that fit their funding parameters. So it's almost like throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what might actually stick or what might actually work. So I'm not sure, you know, people have said, is there a plan and they're just not being forthcoming about it? Or is this something where we're just trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks? I'm not really clear on it. So really, this is my ultimate point here with all this, friends. Let's continue to watch this. But I think one of the things that needs to actually happen with all this is the city needs to come clean with a plan for what it is that they're going to do with $40 million to make things more secure and, you know, not ruin the culture of the French Quarter and New Orleans in general. There you go. Friends, we have a great show here for you today. We're going to be chatting with the gang from the Top Taco NOLA Festival, brand new, coming up here next week on Thursday over at Spanish Plaza. Going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk with those guys. And then we have Andrew Lofeld of the brand spanking new distillery, rum distillery here in New Orleans, also called Roulaison. He'll be here in the second hour. So we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to be back with Top Taco. Little Eric Lindell for you. Come on back.
I'm going to take you out, girl, and spend some time. If that I do, just one more round.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Baggio heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
When a cold chill begins to burn at your very soul, that's the sweet touch of love.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy Thursday, everybody, and a beautiful day outside, as we were talking about. Hope you got to enjoy a little bit of sunshine. Hey, get some vitamin D. It keeps the rickets away. Friends, we're happy to be joined by the part of the gang here from Top Taco NOLA, which is a really cool new festival going on next Thursday evening, 6:30 to 9:30. I guess the VIP thing, we'll get into all this, starts at 5:30, but over there at Spanish Plaza on the Riverwalk. And it's really neat, friends. It's going to be, we're in tacos and drinks. So really, how can you go wrong with that? So we're joined by Shane Finkelstein, who is the event organizer, producer.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Shane. Thanks for being on. We're joined by Richard Papier, who's one of the participating restaurants from Aranya.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And then Richard's bartender, Alex Casara, who is also here because he's making drinks.
Yeah.
Good answer, Alex. Mm-hmm. Way to go, man. Okay, so cool. It's a fun festival. Let's get into a little bit about, Shane, I'll throw this out to you. And the show, you guys know this, I was telling you this before we went on the air, we just kind of talk, so it's all easy breezy. Tell me a little bit about the background, Shane, of the festival. This is the first time in New Orleans, right? But it's gone on in other locations. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, you know, you're calling it a festival, which kind of gives people the impression that it's a flip-flops and fried chicken kind of thing. Where, you know, it's not really that. It's more of a high-end event with like Tales of the Cocktail or Boudin Bourbon and Beer. So it's more of an event.
Than
a festival, but okay. Call it whatever you want to call it, as long as you come out and support our charity that we're doing it for. This event was begun in Denver 3 years ago. They created this amazing festival, bringing together the different restaurants in Denver that make tacos with different tequilas different tequila companies in Denver, and went from 2,500 people in year one to 7,200 people last year. So it's become one of the largest food festivals in that city.
Wow. Now, how did you, Shane, get involved with it, and how do we end up with one of these going on here in New Orleans?
Yeah, well, actually, my friend Jeff Suskin produces the festival. He's an old friend of mine, and you know, I'm in the restaurant business. I own Nacho Mama's, and I always wanted to do a big event, and I actually was donating tacos to Baton Rouge storm victims in the summer, and I was really, you know, the reaction that people were getting when they were getting these tacos was amazing, and I just decided I wanted to do something big for our own hometown, and so I decided that I was going to do a festival. I approached my friends about helping me produce it here. I found a great charity to work with called One Heart NOLA, mm-hmm. which does stuff with foster kids in the city, specifically with the kids that age out of the foster system at 18. It helps them normalize their senior years of high school when they lose their state funding.
Yeah, right. And I want to spend a little time a little bit later on in the conversation. Let's talk about that because it is a wonderful organization. So your friend then that you're talking about is actually in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. Okay, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, they're helping me produce it though. They're coming in.
Okay.
This is not going to feel like a first year event. It's going to feel like a year four event. They've got all this experience behind them. And they know how to rock this thing out. And so far, everything's been amazing. I was able to go out and get 40 restaurants to compete in this event, 10 restaurants in the VIP area. Restaurateurs are really giving. You know, they're giving of their time, they're giving of their money. The chefs, the bartenders, they're all coming out here and donating their time and money, you know. Part of it is that I asked them to, but another part of it is that they really, you know, dig the idea, and they have competitive spirit, and they like the idea of doing something for charity. So,
you know, that's a great point for bringing that up, Shane, too, is that we know that the service industry, hospitality industry here in New Orleans is always first to take up a cause. And, you know, this is another really good example of that. You know, and without a doubt, you've got a lot of great restaurants. And we know we don't have to unpack this too quick because we got a lot of time to talk. But let's talk a little bit, and then I'll get to these guys in a second. But let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about the structure, how it's going to work. Sure. So, yeah, 40 restaurants coming. And then we're going to have tacos, and then we're also going to have cocktails.
Right.
Now, is that a kind of one in the same where the different restaurants are also going to produce a beverage?
Yes.
So everybody's doing one of each kind of thing?
Well, no, some people are doing more than one category. So we have four categories. So we have top traditional taco, top creative taco, top traditional margarita, and top creative tequila cocktail. And so each restaurant is going to be coming out, and they each have a sponsor, a tequila sponsor. So Richard's sponsor, Arena's sponsor is Patron, Nacho Mama's sponsor is Hornitos, El Silencio Mezcal is doing it with Johnny Sanchez and, mm-hmm. and The Butcher, and each supplier is going to be creating an atmosphere within their tent. So it's basically going to be about 15 different suppliers with their multiple tequilas creating different atmospheres within our party. So it's parties within parties. So
Shane, so you're everybody's going to be kind of in a separate tent where you get to come into a particular environment with that restaurant with that drink.
Yeah, like Ghost Tequila and who's there? The Tequila House. They're doing a disco theme. We got the Storyville theme coming from the El Silencio crew. We've got Hornitos is doing salsa dancers. Patron is doing Oculus Prime glasses. They're going to take you to a hacienda in Mexico. It's just
cool.
So cool.
That's news to me.
I'm blown away by what's going to be out there. And so this event, unlike a lot of events you go to and you're just standing in line waiting for the next drink or waiting for the next taco, this is going to be a much more interactive event. You're actually going to be, if you're standing online at this event, that's your problem, because there's going to be way too many things going on that you shouldn't be standing
in line. You shouldn't be standing in line. Well, Richard, let me ask you this question. So you own Aranya.
Yes, sir.
And you're over in Elmwood, right?
We're a magazine.
Oh, you're on magazine.
Correct.
I apologize. Yeah. You're over, Shane, in Elmwood. Okay, got that backwards. I apologize. So now, how did this work? Were you guys got involved? Did Shane reach out to you? Or how did you all connect?
Yeah, we were first. I appreciate that, you know? And Shane just came over and sat down with me and my business partner and talked about it and said, do you want to do Taco Fest? And I said, yes. And he said, we both said yes. And then he said, well, let me tell you about it first. And we said, yes. You know, before it was
on. Stop talking.
We're in, you know. New Orleans had a big taco explosion, I guess, almost 3 years ago, because we make 3 years in August ourselves. And you know, I had learned from a guy from Mexico City about Mexican food, and you know, point in time there weren't very many you know, Mexican restaurants around. You know, you had chain had been around for a while. Matter of fact, we're in the space of one of his old locations.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess that's a blessing from the Taco Father over here. You know,
the Godfather of tacos.
The Godfather of tacos.
And on actually, this guys, day, I will get.
That's actually, guys, what we're going to do here in just a second is we're going to take a little bit of a break and come back. And that's a topic that I'd like to actually get into with you guys. Is I think we are seeing a bit of, I hate to use this term because it's so hackneyed, but I don't want to say a renaissance, but we are seeing a considerable uptick in Mexican cuisine. I think in New Orleans, as you just said, Richard, yep. in the past few years, and man, that's a good thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I think that people, if you're listening from the outside, if you're hearing the podcast around the country or elsewhere, you may not know. You might think, well, New Orleans has great food. Of course, they've always had good Mexican food. And really, that hasn't been the case.
No.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk more about the Top Taco Fest. We're going to talk to Alex here, who's sitting here patiently, who's whipped us up a drink. We're going to have that. Hey, you know, come on back. Tacos, drinks, friends, how could you go wrong? Come on back to the Noel Drinks Show.
Market offers daily entertainment and delicious food and drink options throughout our six-block district. Whether you crave raw oysters or fresh produce, authentic confections or healthy daiquiris, you can find it here. Sit at one of our cafes and hear live local music. Enjoy a muffaletta, po' boy, salad, or cheese plate in the farmer's market. Check out our pop-up farmer's markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays for even more fresh food options. History is being made fresh daily at the French Market. Visit frenchmarket.org for food, drink, retail, and event listings.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. It's football and festival season, and there's no better way to enjoy Sazerac Rye than in a pothole cocktail. Just fill up a glass with ice and your favorite root beer, and add 2 ounces of Sazerac Rye for a truly tasty toddy. Named after the city's most iconic of inconveniences, the pothole is proof that New Orleans never takes itself too seriously. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, general manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to Over Oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80 proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranax, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Well, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on a corner.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. Yeah, a little Tab Benoit. My bucket's got a hole in it. That's pretty good. BJ just sent me some information about the Rock and Bowl Jazz Fest lineup after hours. Tab Benoit is one of the guys. We'll get into that at some point here on the show. Friends, we're talking about Top Taco NOLA. I am joined by Shane Finkelstein, who is the event organizer and owner of Nacho Mamas in over in Elmwood. Richard Papier, who is the owner at Aranya on Magazine Street. And Alex Cassara, who also works with Richard there at Aranya. And so we're talking a little bit about the festival that is coming up this Thursday. Next Thursday, a week from today, on the 23rd in the evening over at Spanish Plaza. It's a lot of fun, friends. Tacos, drinks, and it's a competition as well. And so, Shane, we're going to talk a little bit about how that's going to work. So we got a people's choice thing, right? Yep. You mentioned the categories. Let's go back over that and let's talk about how the judging is going to work. And
yes, we have four categories. We have traditional tacos and cocktails, and we have the creative tacos and cocktails. We have fan voting and judges voting. We have some amazing judges from Alan Shaya and Frank Bryson and Abigail Gulo, Liz Williams from SoFab. We have Charles Divins, the newscaster. We have just an unbelievable. I was just telling you guys about the world record taco eating holder, who's going to be one of Michael Durbin, who's going to be one of the judges.
Yeah, tell people the world record of what, because yes, that is something.
He's eaten nothing but tacos for 350 straight days, and it's called the Taco Diet, and you can follow him at Taco Tour on Instagram. It's Taco TVUR.
It is not the paleo diet.
He's certainly qualified to be judging our tacos out there.
Right.
So we have the judges voting on one side, and we have the fan voting on the other. So the fan voting, everybody who comes to Top Taco will be given four voting chips, color voting chips, and each color will be dropped in a box for that category. At the end of the event, we're going to have eight winners, four for each fans and judging, and we are going to be presenting them with these amazing NOLA cutting boards, engraved with the Top Taco logo on it. So they're really cool. I think everybody's going to be really excited about that.
That's really neat. And there's a lot of creative people that are participating both on the food side and on the drink side. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, amazing lineup of restaurants that you would just never expect. You know, you were talking about the Taco Renaissance, I think you guys were mentioning. Mm-hmm. And, in Denver, you could see a taco on fine dining menus, on every menu in the city that can be some kind of taco. And I think that's going to start happening here as well. I mean, people are really, into this challenge. I got Bourbon House. We got The Butcher. We got P.F. Chang's coming out. We have just places that Giacomo's, Patois, Vincent's is on the VIP, going to be doing an Italian taco. The VIP experience is going to be amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Wait till the end? Or?
Go ahead, if you want to continue the restaurant.
The VIP
list,
is going to be aboard our title sponsor, the Paddle Wheeler Creole Queen, where for $125, it's going to be all-inclusive, and you get 10 restaurants doing signature tacos, restaurants you just would never expect to do a taco. You'll never get another taco from Vincent's, that's for sure.
At least until next year, right?
Vincent's, Chiba, Horns, Cowbell, Tracy's. Tracy's is coming out. Maybe you got a roast beef po' boy taco for those guys.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have a Patron XO, which is like a dessert cordial, and they're going to be doing a Patron XO infused desserts from La Boulangerie and Laurel Street Bakery, and that's going to be awesome. And then the pinnacle of the VIP experience will be the Extra Añejo Tequila Tasting Station, where we'll be able to taste some of the finest tequilas around. And Also, live music by Margie Perez's band Movuelo. And I think it's going to be a super event.
That's
on board the Creole Queen.
And I'm assuming that the Creole Queen is going to stay docked?
Yeah, it's going to stay docked.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That's really exciting. And we'll circle back on this at the end, Shane, with you, as far as how people can get tickets and all that stuff, because, you know, we want people to...
Absolutely. Yeah,
we'll give them all that critical information on how they get there. You guys, from Aranya, Richard, and Alex, so... good example of what we're talking about here. You guys are competing in both the cocktail and taco version, and you thought well about, I think, with Richard, the taco you were describing that you all are going to do. And I didn't know, this is not a state secret, right? This is not some sort of thing that you're going to unveil.
No.
Okay, good. So I didn't want to, you know, so let's talk a little bit about the taco that y'all are going to do, and let's talk a little bit about the drink that y'all whipped up, just to give us a good example of the greatness that you can taste next Thursday.
Well, the taco that we're doing, we're basically taking pork loin and we're brining it with star anise canela, which is Mexican cinnamon, a little bit of browned sugar, or actually pincillo, which is the Mexican brown sugar that comes in a cone, and it gives it sort of like a five spice kind of flavor to it, which kind of goes along with the sauce we're doing. You know, we're using chili arbol, which is very similar to the Asian Japanese peppers, and a little bit of roasted tomato and garlic. And it's sort of like a spicy sauce. It goes very good with this five spice smoked pork loin, topped with tamarind and pineapple salsa, which kind of compares to the drink, which Alex will tell you about. It's kind of a take on Asian flavors, but made with Mexican ingredients.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, and Alex, tell us, because this drink is going to go great with that, because as you mentioned, it's a flip. Yes. So tell us what we're drinking right now.
We're calling it, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation probably. Thai is such a difficult language. It's called Aroy Mak.
Okay.
Which roughly translates to, it is very delicious, which you'll have to tell me.
Well, I think it's delicious, and we can call it that because Thai is one of the most different languages in the world. So we're going to,
appreciate that.
Yeah.
You just spend a little time over there too.
Yes. Cool. So Armand and I, Armand's our GM. We were, once we got the motif, the Asian motif, we were kind of considering what we could do. And I'd just been to Thailand in October, and I kind of fell in love with it. Spent time in Bangkok and Chiang Mai.
Cool.
The tastes are so unique. So we came up with this boozy Thai iced tea. The booze.
Let's go there, the important stuff first.
Yeah, so our sponsor is Patron. Armand went down to Jalisco to tour their distillery last year. We're using a Patron Añejo, aged longer than a year. It's got a lot of vanilla notes. Fits well with this type of drink. And also we are using, and it's another shot of, the Del Maguey Crema de Mezcal.
Mm-hmm.
So mezcal is...
is that an Espadine, I'm assuming? I think that the Silencio is an Espadine. Yeah, okay.
So that's going to give it a little bit of a smokier flavor, but
absolutely,
it's also, it's 80% mezcal, 20% agave syrup.
Yep.
So,
okay.
So it's still got a little bit of sweetness to go with the smoke, and that'll go well with the taco, pork taco.
Yeah, very nice. I mean, the creamy texture on this is great, and what you were describing, Richard, as far as the taco is going to go, as we said, that sort of Asian meets Latin America kind of flavor, I think it's a neat concept. How did you guys, when you put this together, how much of putting of heads together was there? Did you guys go back and forth and tweak things?
Here's a crazy thing. There's some kind of crazy simpatico that goes along with Armand's cocktails and my food that somehow, we don't really talk about it, but it winds up going very well together.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just from, you know, working and tasting. Armand is our GM, and he's the guy that creates all the cocktails. The guy's amazing with his flavor. Yeah. He's spot on. And it just happened to be that way.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, which
yeah.
was really crazy. I mean, originally I was going to try to do something a little bit different with beef. I was going to more of a Thai version of a sun-dried beef on the taco. And it was coming along. Didn't work out the way I wanted it to do. The mad science treat didn't work out. And one day I was making something for myself to eat and went, son of a gun, this is where I'm going with this.
Gotcha.
So it just worked out well.
Now, do you guys think is this something, and maybe with a lot of, not Vincent's because we've established this, but with a lot of the restaurants in town, is this going to be something that the taco and the drink going to end up on the menu for a little while, do you think? Or is it?
When we win, it definitely will.
Gotcha. Way to grandstand, Richard. Nice work, man. Cool. It's a really lovely drink, and I think it's really neat. And I think, Shane, we're going to see a lot of creativity from a lot of people doing a similar concept, right, as far as bar team and kitchen working together on this.
Well, just getting back to what you said, yes, the restaurants are supposed to have the cocktail available at the restaurants after the event for a month. So, you know, that's the whole idea. I mean, you know, you don't want to go to the tacos are different. Some of these restaurants don't normally have tacos.
Right.
But the drinks are supposed to be available at the restaurants. Through the end of April. So
that's really cool. So I assume that you guys the information will be out on that front as far as what the drinks are, so people can know how to ask for them by name when they go into the spots.
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty exciting stuff too. Friends, it's going to be a really fun festival here, Top Taco NOLA. We're chatting with Shane Finkelstein, Richard Papier, and Alex Cassara, the latter two from Aranya, and Shane is from Nacho Mama's over there in Elmwood. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the festival. We're going to talk more about Aranya, and we're going to talk more. BJ's working the board as usually, and BJ's usually flawless, but we're good. We're coming back. We're going to talk a little bit more with Shane about Nacho Mama's. Little Snooks England down yonder. Come on back.
With Uncle John. Way down yonder on the farm. Raising chicken and raising corn down yonder. Down on the farm.
Hey, ladies. Are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in the Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
Go down by the cow with it. Give it to him. Holly golly. Jump. Give it to him. Give it to him.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WTSO 990 AM New Orleans. NOLA Drink Show podcast on all the services where you get a podcast. It's all out there. Little Kermit Ruffins there with Rebirth Brass Band. I got a woman. Hey, you know, when I was driving in across the bridge today, live over in Old Mandeville, as you know, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, WWOZ is doing their pledge drive, and they had good old Kermit Ruffins in there playing live, man, and it was awesome because, well, he's the man. Oh, and drinks are showing up. That's what we do here on the NOLA Drink Show. We drink and we talk about it. Yeah, that's what we do. And we are chatting here with the guys participating in the Top Taco NOLA event. Not a festival. It's an event. All right. And it's taking place over at Spanish Plaza there by the Riverwalk next Thursday on the 23rd. And we have Richard Papier here and Alec Cassara from Aranya there on Magazine, and Shane Finkelstein from Nacho Mamas, who's also the event organizer. And let's go back to you guys with Aranya. So you guys are on Magazine. You moved, thanks, as you said earlier, Richard moved in. Thanks to the Taco Godfather, you were gifted a spot on Magazine.
I was gifted on this day. You will take the spot and make delicious Latin food.
Yeah, were you told if you got the spot that you had to make tacos, otherwise the spot, someone will come and find you?
Yeah, he said if I didn't do it, I'd wake up with a Burroughs Head my bed.
Yeah, and exactly, a Burroughs Head, good one. So you held together, you did it, you lived up to the expectation. You paid a little bit of money, I'm sure, that Shane shows up with bad shoes and a cheap suit every once in a while.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and to collect some funds. and you have Ronnie. When did you guys open up?
We opened up August of 2014. We'll be 3 years in August of this year.
Wow, fantastic. Now, Richard, talk a little bit about your background. Where, and I know you're from here originally.
Correct.
And you've worked, you were just telling me right before we went on the air a couple segments ago, you've worked all over the city for lots of folks. Correct. And with lots of folks.
Yeah, I worked for Lucky Dog for many years. You can see me on, but I'm teasing. I did fine dining. I went to culinary school out here, and I, you know, worked for Emerald. And I'd worked for Donald Link at Herb St. when it first opened up. He was a chef over at Della Chase when it first opened up as well. And there's a fine gentleman in town whose name is Guillermo Peters, who taught me the ins and outs of interior Mexican cooking. And that's where I fell in love with doing this.
And where is Guillermo? Is Guillermo...
Guillermo has a little place now called Canal Street Bistro.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's doing quite as much Mexican flair that he used to do, you know, his old location is where Irish House is now.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And you guys, we were talking, and actually, real quick, Alex, so where are you from, man?
I'm from New Orleans.
You're from New Orleans? Yes. Okay, and how'd you get into bartending?
So I'd done it in college. I went to LSU and worked in Mexican restaurants there, actually. And came back home after college, and started back at restaurants, and I don't know, I just kind of loved the Mexican cuisine, started off as a waiter, moved on up.
And how long have you been working with these guys?
Just about a year. It's in a year.
Wow, okay. This month. That long.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you're there holding down the bar.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Me and, you know, my wonderful coworkers.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic. And so are you the guy that gives, when Shane shows up looking for protection money, are you the guy that gives out the protection money out of the till at the bar?
No, that's Chef.
That chef? Okay, yep. He comes looking for... Okay, got to make sense.
This guy's the face. He's the pretty boy.
He's the pretty boy. I like that. Yeah. Okay, cool. He's the... who's the actor in The Godfather that's the son that's the pretty boy? Oh, I can't believe I can't remember his name. Never mind. Not important. So, Richard, let's talk a little bit about the food. What's the food that y'all do? I mean, obviously, we're talking about Mexican food, but is there a particular emphasis, style?
We started off doing more interior Mexican food, stuff from the Yucatan and Mexico City, things like that. It didn't catch on as well as we wanted it to. People liked it. They didn't understand it as much as they understood it. Tex-Mex. We don't really do Tex-Mex. We do some dishes that are considered Tex-Mex, but the flavor is more traditional. We do just about 95% of our stuff fresh. Okay. Other than like tomato sauce, it just doesn't make any sense to, you know, do it from scratch. But we've got about 14 different chilies we use through all the sauces. A lot of the old world, you know, ways of making things. We've got some modern takes on a few things. Like we do an open face tamale that we just kill it with. I couldn't sell regular tamales to save our life. You know, I wound up throwing them away after the first day. They're no good. And we created one almost. We took the masa and heated it up like you would polenta. Cut them off in little bricks, fried them. We took all the old corn cobs we had in the house and we steamed that. I steeped it in cream and then added chili cascabel. And put chicken tinga on top of that and it just flies out the door.
Nice.
So we try to do some things like that from time. So we do a little old world, a little new world, little, you know, country style.
A little New Orleans flair. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's okay. So New Orleans, but when I say country style, like, you know, you think Tex-Mex, that's very, you okay, know, yeah. You know, that's kind of like the side stuff when you enter into Mexico, the border states, and kind of like do a little bit of everything now.
Now, are you guys, where are you located on Magazine?
3242 Magazine.
Okay.
Yeah, right next to the Bulldog.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
How, and do you guys do lunch and dinner?
Lunch and dinner. We do brunch on Sundays. We take some traditional New Orleans food and do takes on that. Like we do grits and griots, but we do chili verde pork with the tamale cakes for the grits.
Nice.
You know, all the cocktails are amazing. Everything's handcrafted.
Bottomless margaritas all weekend.
Easy enough for you to say.
Bottomless margaritas all weekend.
Like I don't say it enough.
So like just a flat fee, and then you can have margaritas until the 18, cows come home.
$18 mm-hmm. all you can drink.
Hey, that's pretty awesome.
So cool. You wheel them out.
Yeah. Well, until you wheel them out and cut them off, right?
Exactly.
Only sometimes.
Well, and Shane, so tell me when we talked about this, you reached out to the restaurant community and you got a great response. How many people, did you start to go to some of the more Mexican cuisine oriented places first and then you found others were interested? Or how did that dynamic kind of unfold with getting, say, the Vincents of the world involved? These guys are an obvious fit, but how did that work?
Well, you know, the Vincents of the world and Tracy of the world, those are friends of mine. I mean, I've been in the business for 16 years. I had a lot of, you know, at least 20 of the participants are friends. I would consider them friends. So, after we started getting some publicity, I hired a really good PR company. After we started getting some publicity, I had a lot of people calling us. Bourbon House called us. Butcher called us. We want to do this. This sounds amazing. We want to be involved, you know? I think chefs like challenges too. And, they have the boot. I compare it to the Boudin bourbon and beer. And, you know, not everybody can do Boudin, but everybody can make a taco. A taco is so accessible. I mean, you could put anything in a corn tortilla and make it delicious. So that's what we're really showcasing here, that you can do anything with tacos and with tequila. I mean, this drink that we're drinking from Arania is not a traditional tequila drink. And so they're going to be in the creative competition, and that's what we're showcasing out here.
Yeah, and that's neat because so there's the traditional taco, and then there's the traditional margarita, right. And then creative, and it's not creative margarita, it's creative tequila or agave drink, right? Because right. You can use mezcal, correct. And things like that, so yeah. It doesn't have to be tequila, correct. In particular. And we start to see, I think you guys and chime in here on this, it's the uptick in the popularity of mezcal everywhere, really, but in New Orleans, it's really taken off in the past couple years. And I think we've seen a lot of brands, mezcal brands, come in that were not previously available here.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm a big mezcal fan.
Me too.
And when we opened up, we have a huge tequila selection. We've got 150. And I definitely, talked to my my GM and said, when we get this place, let's get some really cool mezcals. And they've got some amazing stuff that's out there. And, I'd like to go to Setol after this.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was drinking. This is a side story. I was drinking a little bit of mezcal on Mardi Gras day, and then my buddy Brent, who's a bartender over at Bar Tonic, had Setol in his flask.
Yeah,
that was a good Mardi Gras morning.
That's an expensive flask.
That was flask. He's like, it's Setol. Yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm hanging with you through Saint Anne, brother. That was
over. I know Ed Diaz. I used to work for Ed over at Diligence.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and they're a good old Ed there, Tony. Well, you guys, we got about a minute left here. Let's talk. And Shane, you're going to stick around. So let's circle back on Aranya. 3242 magazine. Is
correct.
That right?
Oh man, correct. Yeah, between Jeez. Reginelli's and Bulldog, right, okay, off Louisiana.
Awesome. And then where can people find you online and social and all that stuff?
They can go to our Aranya Cantina and Taqueria, or just Google Aranya Taqueria and we'll pop up there.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And so you guys are going to be there participating with a great drink that we've tasted, great taco that you've described. Friends, if you're doing the People's Choice, feel free to shill for a vote right now, you guys.
Yeah, if you want to help us out, I'd be more than happy to
come on over to the Aranya tent and throw in a token, right?
Exactly.
All right, cool. Friends, hey.
Well, the drink is available at the restaurant.
And the drink is already available. Okay, there we go. Perfect. So, friends, we're going to take a little top-of-the-hour break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Thanks, Richard, Alex, for being here. I know you guys got a scoot.
Thanks for having
us. Absolutely, my pleasure. Shane's going to stick around, talk a little bit more about his spot, talk a little bit more about the festival. Come on back.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop.
Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to hour number two of the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If that's how you're getting the show, I appreciate it. We are chatting with Shane Finkelstein, who is the producer and man in charge of top I have a hard time saying that, Shane. Top Taco NOLA coming up next Thursday, and he's also the proprietor of Nacho Mama's over there. I always just say that over there, west of us in Elmwood. Tell us a little bit about your spot, Shane.
For Nacho Mama's,
yeah.
We have Nacho Mama's just trying to represent themselves in more of a traditional way that we normally do at the restaurant. We kind of elevated what we normally do. So on the traditional taco side, we're doing a barbecue pork taco with pickled slaw, chipotle ranch, and a corn mock show. At the restaurant, we don't normally do the corn mock show. It just kind of elevates it a little bit, makes it a little bit more New Orleans style. It's really good. We did it at the 610 Stomper Ball, and we got really good feedback on it.
Oh, cool.
On the drink side, as I was telling you in the break, we did Hornitos with triple sec and basil simple syrup, jalapeno, and fresh pomegranate. And unfortunately, pomegranate seems to be unavailable at the moment.
And you're the godfather, man. You're the godfather of tacos, but not pomegranate, right?
Oh, man.
That's a different family.
Yeah, pomegranate family is out of my control, but you can't find pomegranate anywhere in the city. If you can, let us know. So we brought it here in the watermelon version, we've trying to special order or twist some thumbs to get some pomegranate into New Orleans before the event. So,
before the event.
We'll see. One way or the other, there'll be some fruit in that cocktail.
This is a great drink. And actually, Shane, can you go back over what's in it even with the watermelon variation?
Yeah, well, we did a basil simple syrup, so fresh basil that we cooked off with sugar and water. A jalapeno, fresh jalapeno. Don't leave it in. If you're trying to make it at home, don't leave it in there too long. It gets a little too spicy. Yep. But give it a little shake with the jalapeno. We got Hornitos 100% Blue Agave Tequila and the Kuiper Triple Sec in our cocktail.
Now, are you guys entering also yourselves, or do you have to recuse yourself from the festival?
No, actually, we're entering. Okay. I'd be very surprised if Nacho Mama's won with all the competition out there. But no, we're just going to represent ourselves well and try not to embarrass ourselves in front of all these great chefs. So, that's what we're doing up there.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you this question. We talked a little bit about this before we went on the air. How did a Finkelstein get involved with Mexican food?
Well, the Finkelstein family goes back a long ways in Mexico. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, real wow.
Actually, I lived in Atlanta for about 10 years and moved to New Orleans in 2000. When I moved down here, there were very few Mexican restaurants in the downtown, uptown area. And I missed the Atlanta, burrito shops that were down there, Willie's Mexicano Grill. And I told my wife I wanted to open a Mexican restaurant. And she said, don't you think you should work in a restaurant before you actually open one? And I said, okay, I will do that first. So I got a job at Copeland Cheesecake Bistro for 3 months as a host.
Oh, perfect. That was, you got your feet wet. That's all you needed, right?
Yes, that's all I needed. A little seasoning before I can open up my restaurant. No, actually, it suits me well. I love interacting with guests. I love tacos. I love Mexican food. I love tequila, which not everybody does, but I've just have an affinity for tequila, and I've really enjoyed it. I've been doing it for 16 years now, and That's my life now. So
and where are you, so you're in Elmwood. Where are y'all located specifically?
We're in the Elmwood Shopping Center next to Office Max. Yep. Next to right down from Guitar Center.
Yep, that's how I know where it is. Guitar Center.
We had three locations at one time, but it was a little more than I can handle. So we're happy with the one out in Elmwood.
Okay, great. Yeah. So let's do this too. We got a little bit of time here left, Shane. One Heart NOLA is an excellent charitable cause. So the proceeds from Top Taco NOLA is going to that organization. Let's talk a little bit about them and how that connection came to be.
Yeah, well, I met Terry Harbrowski through a friend, and she is a foster parent, and she started a nonprofit for foster children in New Orleans, and it is 100% volunteer organization. So all the money that goes to them goes to the kids, other than office expenses, but everything else goes to the children. They're basically a two-part organization. So kids in Louisiana, they get picked up into the system, and they have a 72-hour waiting period before they go to a home. So in the past, they've had very few basic necessities for those kids. Well, she provides them with books, games, DVDs, toys, stuff to, you know, normalize their life while they're in that situation. And then the other part, which is really where our what we're going to be trying to help fund, is for kids that age out of the system. And in Louisiana, they age out at 18. In other states, they age out in 21. Mm-hmm. And most of these kids are still juniors or seniors in high school, and they lose their state funding. And so they try to help them in any way they can, whether it's paying for their caps and gowns, paying for some books, paying for a class trip, paying for a mattress, a bed, you know, any way that they can help these kids. They help them on a one-to-one level. So the state calls, they said, this kid wants to go on their class trip. Can you help sponsor them? Can you help? And a lot of their stuff, so they had a very small operating budget. A lot of it is physical donations like books and clothes and toys and stuff like that. But they also, they need money. And, their whole operating budget last year was $20,000. And this, we're trying to raise over $100,000 in Tom Taco. And we're going to do it. It's a first-year event. We may not make a lot of money, and we know that. That's the reality of first-year events. But we're going to be doing a huge silent auction at the at Top Taco, and that silent auction is going to have amazing things on it. The Creole Queen women that are helping us out as our title sponsors have stepped up and got some unbelievable stuff. They've got two tickets to the Saints game in London that they're going to fly somebody to.
Wow, cool.
That's going to be in the auction. They have a hotel in Mexico that they're giving away. We have artwork. We have just awesome stuff from a Tito's signed guitar. We have stuff from the tequila companies that they're giving away. So it's really going to be where we're going to draw most of the money for the charity.
Fantastic.
And we're also going to be doing a raffle from the restaurants that are participating. We're going to do a year of fine dining. We'll call it fine dining, but Mexican dining. Raffle from that the Pussyfooter girls are going to come out and run. So we're going to try to raise a lot of money from that raffle as well.
That's fantastic. A great cause. And so let's do this now, Shane. Tell people, the money's going to go to a great cause. It's going to be a great event, great food, great drink. Let's circle back on it's toptaconola.com. Let's break the tickets down and the time, and just let's do the 411 on all this.
Yeah, so the tickets are, general admission is $65 on first tasting, which gets you in at 5:30, an hour earlier, is $85.
Okay, and that's the VIP?
That gets you in an hour earlier.
Okay.
Okay, and then the VIP is $125.
Separate.
And this is all inclusive. So you don't need to spend another dime once you're in the restaurant.
At the event.
In the event. also live music. We have live music by Otra and Los Pobrecitos on the main stage. We got a mariachi band strolling through the party, which is
great.
Impossible to find in New Orleans. Right. We got one from Baton Rouge. And
because when you think mariachi, you think Baton Rouge.
Yeah, exactly. there's going to be a lot going on at the event. We got a snowball stand with tequila being poured over it. You're going to be blown away when you come to this thing.
That's going to be, it's a lot of fun, friends. Go check out toptaconola.com. A great event. Going to be a lot of fun. People's Choice Awards. You get to vote. We were talking a little bit about the voting, and you crack me up because we were talking about the high profile judges, as you put it, Shane, in there. And then there's me.
Oh, I forgot about you.
Well, you were talking about the high profile judges, Shane, not the low profile judges.
You didn't even make the press release.
I know, exactly. That tells me exactly where I stand. You're going to see me at the end of the table or behind the table somewhere. But no, I'm honored to be asked to be a judge, and I really appreciate you doing that. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to the event.
Awesome. I'm so excited about it, as you can probably tell from my voice. I think it's going to be amazing.
That's great. And Shane, tell people, what's the address of Nacho Mamas and how do they find you online there?
Well, actually, the address of the event is Riverwalk Spanish Plaza. I don't even think we really touched on
it's
that.
It's one pointer,
right? People don't, they're like, where's that? That's right in front of the Riverwalk between Waldenburg Park and the Riverwalk at the foot of Canal and foot of Poydras Street. You just keep walking to the river. You can't miss it. You'll end up in the river if you miss it.
I think technically, and if you're looking for it on Google Maps, even though I think technically it's actually one Poydras is the address.
500 Port of New Orleans. That's the address on my permit, but your address works as well.
Okay, so you will end up in Spanish Plaza
Awesome. And there's discounted parking at the Riverwalk, at the Hilton parking garage. But I do encourage everybody that's going to this event to take Uber, take Lyft, take a taxi, stay at the Hilton, don't drink and drive. It's the best way to go for this type of event.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Shane, thanks so much for being here. What is the address of Nacho Mamas?
Nacho Mamas is in the Elmwood Shopping Center at 1000 South Clearview Parkway.
Perfect. Shane, thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to next Thursday. Absolutely. Absolute pleasure. Folks, Shane Finkelstein from Top Taco Nola, I'll get it, and also Nacho Mamas over there in Elmwood. Folks, check out that event, toptaconola.com. That's on our Facebook page, Nola Drinks. It's be on the WGSO website, all that good stuff. Again, Shane, thanks for being here. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, and we're going to come back with Andrew Lofeld from Rulison Distillery. We're going to talk a little bit about rum. Come on back.
Baby, honey, don't make me worry. I'm just
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event, or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we steal our soul.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Nola Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Podcast everywhere else on noladrinks.com. A little Let the Good Times Roll. Yeah, kind of a song that we would synonymize here with New Orleans, but the Grateful Dead version. So that's kind of what I do because, well, yeah, you know, I grew up in California watching the Grateful Dead. So I bring these worlds together for my own pleasure. I hope it works for you. Friends, we're sitting here chatting now after the Top Taco folks. And now after they leave, I can say Top Taco Nola. I can just say it flawlessly. Great event. TopTacoNola.com next Thursday. Pleased to be joined by my friend Andrew Lofeld of the newly minted Roulasan Distilling Company. Andrew, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
Absolutely, man. Get right up there in that microphone. Don't be shy.
Oh, yeah. All
okay, right. There we go. And you might want to kind of turn it right toward you. There you go. Perfect. And you can, if you want to turn towards me and turn it that way, it's all good. But yeah, talk right in. Don't be shy. All right, cool. So, man, you guys have opened up a distillery and you're focusing on rum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good answer. And I like that answer. I like rum. You know that about me. You guys are just getting the doors open right now.
Yeah, we got the last of our permits right at the end of November. And since then, we've been playing around with recipes. It's actually really interesting because we're basically trying to create a new style. You know, we don't, you know, with breweries, you can make like certain styles of beer right off the bat, but we're trying for something completely new and unique. So it took us about 2 months to really play around with different flavor profiles and get where we wanted to be.
Now, and we have some time to unpack this, and I want to get into this. It's something you and I and your partner Patrick Hernandez had drinks last week over at Barrel Proof, which is what, you know, there's a real stretch, have drinks last week, talk shop. And we were talking about a lot more about what you're up to and some of your approach to rum. So I want to get into that. You intrigued me something about Dunder. I now know a little bit more about Dunder after what you guys told me, and a little light reading, no heavy reading that I actually did on that. So fascinating stuff. But, you know, I think what's interesting too, and you guys, we were talking about this last week, you guys are jumping right into the rum game. A lot of people, when they open up a distillery, they start out with I'm not knocking anything, but they start out with vodka because it's kind of an easy way to dip your foot in the water, dip your toe in the water. You guys are jumping right into rum, and you have a local focus on your sugar cane, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually get our sugar cane over from Lafourche Sugars in Thibodaux.
Yep.
Really great people over there. We've been kind of having a working relationship with them for the last almost, I guess, 3 years now. Even like they were one of the reasons why we decided to open up in New Orleans.
Tell that story because I enjoyed that story where Patrick was talking about that a little bit, how that kind of worked.
Yeah. So I started out at a whiskey distillery in New York and got the idea that, or I guess got the rum bug and really wanted to open up a rum distillery and didn't really know where to do it. The option I could do New York, my hometown, which is Philly, or what was really pulling me was I wanted to go where the ingredients were. So I wanted to go where sugarcane is grown. And the big options are Miami, which is the big center in Florida, or New Orleans, which is, you know, the place
in Southeast Louisiana.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of fell down the rabbit hole and was talking to a bunch of sugarcane technologists. Like there's a board of sugarcane technologists in the country. And, had a few conversations with, I think he was either in Miami or just south of Miami, but one of them there. And basically in Florida, you can get molasses by the tote. It's or the tanker. And
so you get a tanker truck of pressed sugar cane, right? And it comes in the molasses form. I mean, after it's been processed, so you can just get it, or they just hook up a hose and dump it on you.
Right. Okay. Where, and that was kind of overwhelming to us as like a very, very tiny distillery.
Right.
Funnily enough, we actually get our molasses by tanker now. It's a lot easier to here. Where in Florida, it's basically controlled by two bigger corporations, whereas Louisiana, it's a lot more like family-run, smaller companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're much more open to working with you. I mean, we could go there and get molasses by the bucket if we wanted to.
That's cool. And so you guys made, and this is the part of the story that you were telling me. So you guys just made a personal connection with these folks, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it
yeah.
was not so much this sort of business dealing, like, yes, we'll bring a tanker sign on the dotted line. It's like, no, great. We're happy to do this with y'all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Patrick actually was able to go to the mill to talk with Greg Nolans, the general manager there. Talked to him and he gave him the grand tour, got to taste like the molasses as it's coming off the presses and got to see everything kind of right there being made. So
that's really cool. So yeah. The folks down there in Thibodaux, so you built that connection. So now when you mentioned, so you got the rum bug, wanted to open a distillery, how did you and Patrick fall in together and then decide to take the plunge and open up Roulasan?
So Patrick and I were actually freshman year hallmates. We live right across the hall from each other during undergrad.
And where was that?
At the University of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we were both in Philly, and we ended up both going to New York separately. Kind of lost touch for like 2 or 3 years, and then ended up going to a friend's wedding and reconnected, had a few drinks, and I talked to him about this idea. And he's actually originally from down here over in Berwick, was looking to, he was in finance, wanted to kind of get out of that and move back home, closer to home. And I told him about my idea, wanted to come down to New Orleans. I've never been here. And
so when you had never been here at this point, that the motivation was kind of from afar.
Exactly.
Wanting to be, oh, interesting. I didn't know that, Andrew. Okay.
I mean, I knew that New Orleans was a great town to be in, and it's
there's rum.
And there's rum. Yeah.
There's, and we like rum.
Yeah. It's a rum town, or it's surprisingly not a rum town, but it's going to be a rum town.
And it's becoming more and more that way. You guys are contributing to that for sure. Oh, so that's cool. So I didn't know that you had not been here before. Mm-hmm. So then you kicking this around with Patrick, and then so that makes sense, sort of sealed the deal. It's like, well, you got to come down to where I am and where I'm from and open up a distillery.
Yeah. So on a whim, we decided to take a flight down in the middle of a week while, you know, took a couple days off work and go to town.
And there you go. So when did you guys get started? I think you mentioned this at the top, but when did you actually get started with making this, set this in motion?
So it's actually really crazy. It was, our first conversation happened in November of 2013. Mm-hmm. So we incorporated in March of 2014. And I mean, look where we're at now. It took us about a year and a half to actually find a location, and then another year and a half on top of that to get all of our permits and actually open our doors.
Yeah, we can't gloss over that. When you mentioned we got all of our permits in November, it's like, yeah, that was the capper to a long road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so, Andrew, what we're going to do, we are going to take a little bit here. We're going to take a bottom of the hour, not a little bit. We're going to take, I always say that, BJ. BJ's working the board as he always says. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. It's the same size break every time we take it here at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to do that bottom of the hour break here on the Nola Drink Show. We are chatting with Andrew Lohfeld, one half of the duo running Roulasson Distilling Company, brand new distillery here in New Orleans. We're going to come on back. We're going to taste some rum. We're going to talk about rum, talk about what they're up to, and their exciting grand opening coming up on Sunday. Friends, come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, General Manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petite Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint, and it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
Dad's been shucking dozens since 42. Iron tub ice down full of Falstaff brew. Black head of son Bobby Charles cold blue. Catholic church bells toll the Louisiana.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Hey, there's my good buddy Roddy Romero on the Hub City All-Stars Gulfstream. They were nominated. I've already lamented about this. They were nominated for 2 Grammys recently and did not win either, which is just highway robbery. All right, I'm going to let that go from until we play it again next week, BJ. I'll let it go. We're chatting here with my good friend Andrew Lofeld from Roulasson Distilling Company, a brand new rum distillery that's opened up. And, man, it's exciting stuff. You guys are doing rum. You're starting out with a Blanco, mm-hmm. which is, you know, kind of what you do, right?
Or Blanco, white, silver, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we had the top taco guys in here, so I'm going with the Spanish, so we're mm-hmm. going Blanco. Yeah, but silver, white, exactly. And do you mind? Let's pour a little bit of that. Yeah. And so then you guys are doing some other stuff, which we're going to taste. You guys do have an interesting approach. So as you mentioned, you're trying to make something a little bit unique and a little bit different. So we talked about how you're sourcing sugarcane locally, which is obviously a very cool thing, keeping it in the family, if you will, here in Southeast Louisiana. But let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about your process and what it is that you guys are up to make Roulasson.
Yeah, so we all it all starts out with that molasses, and I mean, aside from it being the local product, it's we get the molasses that you really can't get anywhere else. It actually gets refined a few more steps after our stage, and it gets a little bit more. It gets like a higher ash content, a little less sugar content. So it's basically it's more efficient and cost effective for them to remove more sugar. And then the final product is like a blackstrap molasses. And we get 2 steps before that, B grade, and it's much sweeter. It's less bitter, and it gives you a really awesome, like fresher product.
Okay.
And one of the cool things that we do, we don't pasteurize the molasses before starting fermentation. So, you know, the molasses is kind of sitting around in tanks for however long, and it collects all the wild microbes that are in the air. And it's cool because it imparts a little bit more flavor. It adds some nuance to it that you don't see in a pasteurized or heated fermentation.
So you get kind of, I think when that happens, so, and I get exactly what you're saying, that it thins it out, right? You're getting a much sort of thinner taste. You're not getting as much of an aroma. You're not getting much of a nose with a pasteurized white. Is that the case?
Well, I mean, you can still get a lot of flavor, but I guess our process is trying to go for the most flavor.
Now, let me put it this way. Let me rephrase what I just said, because I'm sitting here, Andrew, with this. We're on radio, so I'm describing this visually for you all. I have the glass in my hand. My arm is resting on the chair here. I can smell it from here, man.
Oh, yeah. The room has been perfumed with the product.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Once you pop that cork, you can smell from across the room. I kind of love that.
Which is awesome. And so that's sort of, I think, what we're talking about, say, with something that is more pasteurized and a different type of product. So we're talking about some of the larger brand mass-produced rums. They're white rums. Okay, we're talking about white rums here. This is very, very different from that.
Yeah. And the whole white rum product, it's kind of been diluted, because most white rums out there aren't actually originally white. They've been aging for several years, 3, 4, 6, and then they'll just carbon filter it. They'll just basically just strip out all the color, and with that, a lot of the flavor. And so you're just left with a dry, light rum.
That's interesting. So, and I didn't know that. Why is that done? I mean, you would think that people would want to turn the product around really quickly,
right?
Because sort of in typical business thinking, right, if something's sitting in your warehouse, it's depreciating.
Mm-hmm.
Wine being an exception, I get that. Aged spirits, I get that. But if you're going sort of for that, why are you even leaving it sitting there?
Going so far and then bringing it back.
Yeah.
It's to mellow it out.
Okay, just because it's really rough around the edges at that point?
Yeah. Especially, so if you imagine most commercial rums, they're turning it around really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking 24 hours, you go from molasses to distillate.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yep.
You know, if you look at the wine world or the beer world, where, you know, beer to go from barley to beer, it's 4 weeks.
Yep.
You know, wine, same thing, you know, a month or two. Mm-hmm. And then
aging for years even. Yeah. Yep.
But with a rum, to turn that around into what you think would be a finished product, but then, you know, it's still really rough around the edges. There, you know, the yeast that they're using to make that fermentation go so quickly isn't really great for flavor production.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using something that's produces alcohol really quickly, and it's really alcohol tolerant. But the other flavor compounds it's producing, which, I mean, yeast are, I could go on for days about yeast.
We geeked a lot. We had drinks last week. We were geeking on yeast, which I appreciate. But go say what you're going to say.
I mean, they can produce hundreds of compounds, and you know, alcohol is just one of them. And when it's bred to be alcohol tolerant, it's also being bred to produce not great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all that not so great stuff in the fermentation, which then comes over in the distillate, and then you have to age it for a couple of years for that stuff to disappear.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, with what you guys are doing, then let's contrast that then with how you guys go. Let's take the white that you guys are doing, mm-hmm. and walk us through how that works.
Yeah. So our from molasses to bottled white rum, it takes only a couple of weeks, and the way we do that is we focus really on the fermentation, you know, just like a brewer would or a winemaker would. That's where we're concentrating, and we're focusing on really flavorful, like high flavor production yeasts, and then extending that fermentation out so that some of those other compounds that aren't that great, that are just produced naturally, they're in beer, they're in wine, but they get reabsorbed back into the yeast and converted into more mellow and like flavor, beneficial flavor compounds.
Okay.
So our, instead of 20 to 40 hours, we're doing 7 to 10 days for fermentations.
Gotcha.
And for most large commercial distilleries, that's kind of appalling. You know,
outside of their business model.
Exactly.
Right. This is, there's some really wonderful notes that I'm getting on this. I do get a little bit of a molasses note on it. Mm-hmm. That's actually really pleasant. And there's a real smoky note, mm-hmm. on this as well that I find also equally as pleasant. So yeah, I think if you're sort of used to, when I'll use your term, excuse me, Andrew, commercial rums that are, they're not quite as innocuous, for lack of a better term, like a lot of vodkas are, but they're kind of there, you know, they've got some flavor, they're a placeholder, if you will, in a drink. This is bringing Well, I'm going to use this word because I like it, and it's a positive thing with rum. This is bringing the funk to the drink.
Oh, yeah. I love the funk.
The funk is important, and we were talking about that last week, and I think that's somewhat synonymous. Well, people, there's lots of places that produce quote-unquote funky rums. I think Jamaica is a good example of, like, you know, we a favorite of both of ours, I know, is Smith & Cross.
Yeah.
And this has that. So this is going to bring a lot of character to a cocktail.
Yeah.
This isn't just going to be booze with a little bit of, you know, sugar cane flavor to it.
Right. You don't want, we're not making a rum that's going to be hidden by a Coke, you know, like it's right. not going to be mixable and kind of disappear in the drink.
Right.
You know, we want this to stand out. And also what's really cool about all those wild flavors is, you know, what I'm a big fan of is like really fresh juices. You know, and it pairs really great with, you know, fresh grapefruit, pineapple, passion fruit, you know, those big tropical flavors that are kind of overwhelming. And, you know, that way they kind of harmonize.
You know, you're making me think of something. One of my favorite, which I bet it's yours too, one of my favorite traditional rum drinks is a tea punch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which really lets the rum shine through. So we're getting a little bit, you know, you can either have it, I know like in Martinique and places like that, it's basically done neat. Lots of places it's actually done with ice, which is fine. So basically really what we're kind of talking about, they're talking about a little bit of sugar and we're talking about rum and a little bit of lime.
Pretty much a rum old fashioned.
Rum old fashioned, exactly. And it allows the spirit to shine through. This is a hell of a version for a nice tea punch, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can add a little sprig of mint on that drink, I think, is also kind of a nice, and that's going to, when you start to do stuff like that, I think with a cocktail, say mint, which can be an overpowering smell, that funk is going to come through and you're going to get the rum still with the mint.
Yeah. Yeah. And funk is like kind of this amorphous term, but you know, it's just like, you know, funk is great, but it's this conglomeration of compounds, you know, all these flavors. With ours in particular, I kind of see, especially when you're like tasting it right off the still, you can kind of see them as they like step out, you know, one note after the other. So there's like fresh kind of cinnamon and that mint you're talking about and pineapple smoke, like all these crazy compounds that are there and kind of their own accord, not because we're adding anything to it, which is wild.
It's great. It's really cool. And I think sometimes too, people don't think that a white rum, is meant to be a sipping rum.
Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely untrue. And in this case, yours is no exception to what I'm saying here, is that this is a sipping white rum. You don't necessarily have to put this in a cocktail. Neat, it's wonderful, which is how we're tasting it here. You could drop a couple ice cubes in this bad boy and sip on this, and it's a wonderful sipping rum as well, Andrew, that you guys have come up with.
Oh yeah, I think it's great.
Awesome.
Of course, that's just
You're biased, but I'm on board, man. I'm on board. What we're gonna do here, friends, we're gonna take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show, and we're gonna cruise out with a little Eddie Bo, Hook and Sling. And we're chatting here with Andrew Lofeld of Roulasson Distilling Company. We're going to come back. We're going to taste a little more. And we're going to talk about Dunder and Esther. These are not your aunt and uncle. Okay? Not from your British aunt and uncle. We're going to talk about something else. Come on back.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bajot heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's Got Happier Hour is 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for Happier Hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our Happier Hour menu.
Sobu's Happier Hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Little Queenie and the Percolators, My Darling New Orleans. Man, that's a great song. We have a great playlist. I'm a little biased, but we have a great, I'm getting thumbs up from BJ, and we kind of add to it from time to time, things like that. We'll add more stuff. We take stuff away. We bring it back. We do that. But yeah, hey, we're in New Orleans, so we play New Orleans tunes here on the Noel Drink Show. Go figure. Rocket science. We're chatting here with Andrew Lofeld of Rulison Distilling Company, and now we are enjoying, we're talking, as you just said, Andrew, during the break, a sort of pre-1850s punch, and punch was a very, you know, we might think punch is like, you know, you pour a bunch of Sprite in a bowl with a bunch of other stuff, but punch was a very traditional kind of proto cocktail, essentially, if you want to call it that, in the early part of the 19th century. Actually, it goes back a little further than that. Mm-hmm. And so what we're taking, is this the white rum?
Yep, it's the white rum, some fresh ginger, some pineapple juice, lemon juice, and a little bit of simple syrup.
Yeah, and you said a little tea too.
And the tea.
So very, very traditional punch approach, sort of the kind of thing if you were lucky enough to be invited to the White House for an inauguration or something like that, you would find there. It's actually pretty common. Google it. Trust me, go find David Wondrich's stuff. He talks all about it. He's got a book called Punch, all right? He covers it pretty well. And this is the really, really nice drink. So the nice thing, again, so we were talking about the white rum that you do. And as you said very well, I want to make sure we're clear on this. Funk is a good thing when we talk about rum. As we know, we're in New Orleans. Funk is a good thing. I don't need to explain that to anybody around here. If you're listening to the podcast, maybe somewhere you need to be, you know, get that explanation. But the rum stands up to this. So, you know, ginger can be overpowering.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in this case, the rum still shines through, and we get that, and it's not a meaty note, but that meatiness, if you will, of the rum comes through in the punch, man.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to try some meaty rum, you'd have to swing by the distillery. We've got some wild stuff over there, too.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Are we going to, like, can we kind of, like, duck out on Sunday when we're over there for the grand opening and try some of that?
Totally. I think I got one that when I first tried it, it kind of reminded me of pastrami. It was kind of...
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Talk about funk.
I like funk. We like the funk. Yeah, and we're not going to spend any parliament here, but I like the funk. Yeah, so you guys have a grand opening coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Tell people where the distillery is. We haven't even gotten that far.
So we're kind of like tucked in off the street. We're right at Washington and South Broad. If you guys know, there's like Laurel Street Bakery right on the corner. There's Propeller right around the corner on Washington. And we're kind of ducked in. You got to go down the alley. And that's where you'll find us.
Yeah. Okay. And you, we were talking about this too, and BJ mentioned this. BJ here working the board as he always is. It's Super Sunday, friends, this Sunday. So this is one of two times in the year that the Mardi Gras Indians come out and do the big time procession. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are right in that neck of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. We're heart of Central City. You could actually, it's pretty close from where everything is happening with the, with Super Sunday. So you could walk down afterward and grab some rum.
Yeah, that is a, friends, here's a hell of a Sunday for you. Okay, turn up for Super Sunday. The brass bands, the Mardi Gras Indians, everything that's going to be going on Super Sunday. If you're interested in that, I think if you go to our good friends there at wwoz.org, and I think it's In the Streets, Action Jackson, he is the guy on board with all of this stuff. He was on the radio today. You can find out the route, the timing of everything going on Super Sunday. If you want to see the Mardi Gras Indians, go do that. Check that out for an hour or two, and then come see you guys. That kicks off at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. And think of it like a little... tropical oasis. You know, we're kind of tucked back there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a couple food trucks. We built a lot of like lawn games for it too. So like super simple, but I mean, that's kind of how the whole distillery is. It's all DIY.
I like it. That's who are the food trucks, man?
La Cubana is going to be there. Oh, yeah. And Johnny's Jamaican Grill. So
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like
Caribbean
that.
Oasis.
I like that fit. That's going to be a lot of fun. So that goes to till about, as you say, dusk, but like 7-ish, yeah, right?
Right on there.
Yeah, that's going to... And so people are going to be able to show up. They're going to be able to do a little bit of tasting, and you may find your way into... there's going to be a couple mixers there on the bar, right? If you want to...
Yeah, we'll have a few things to mix the rum with, and... yeah.
Are you guys doing tours or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing tours as well. I think the plan is doing like a 3 o'clock and a 5 o'clock tour.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That'll be really exciting. So now you got a white rum, which you've been tasting, but you have other stuff in the works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The goal is to really diversify. I mean, we're focusing solely on rum, but, you know, we want to have a lot of great products out there. So we've got, I think we have about 45 barrels already laid down with rum in them. And, so that aged product will be ready, hoping sometime in the fall, and somewhere in between we'll be doing kind of an overproof or kind of higher octane rum, some funkier stuff, and maybe a few different infusions.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
really cool. So what is the current capacity, and then what's the plan?
Very small.
Okay, I like that. And you don't have to give a specific answer. So,
I mean, I can go in specifics if you want, but we're very tiny.
So is the goal, Andrew, then to really be pretty local as far as distribution goes and things like that, and then get a little crafty, if you will, to go outside of the area?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're starting solely in New Orleans and then kind of throughout Southeast Louisiana, and hopefully in the near future we'll be in a few select spots around the country.
Now, is it, are you guys starting to, I know we were having this conversation last week, and you guys are kind of, I think, crossing T's and dotting I's. So distribution is there, or distribution is almost there?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah. Okay, cool. You guys got somebody lined up, I know, and all that. So have you been out tasting people on this in the bars and in the restaurants? Can you do that with that?
I could, but we wanted to have everything, all lined up first. It should be in the next week or so.
Oh, great.
And then everybody across town is going to be seeing me knocking at their door.
Yeah, put on your sales hat.
Yeah.
Never leave it to the distributor. Get out there and do it yourself. You guys are the guys behind the brand, so that's exciting. Friends, this is really, really good rum, and it's really good stuff. Grand opening on Sunday. Very exciting. Really. So tell us about the name. We were kind of talking about Let the Good Times Roll when we were playing that earlier. But.
Yeah. So Let the Good Times Roll, Laissez le bon temps rouler, and roulez on. It's actually the same root word. Roulez means to roll.
Yep.
And roulez on is an old French Creole term that really hasn't, I mean, it's used very sparingly, but we found it in an old, like, original document circa like 1880s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And roulez on is the term for the sugarcane harvest. It's like, it means the grinding or the rolling.
Yeah.
And it's for the sugarcane press that they would use.
Okay, cool. I did not know that. Well, hey, and we need like a 1 minute. I'm not doing this justice. We'll have you back. Let's talk about Dunder and Esther in the next minute. And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but.
All right. So super quick.
Because I mentioned it. So, yeah.
Super quick rundown. Dunders, esters. Esters are just flavor compounds. Esters are what you get after you mix an alcohol. You put an alcohol and an acid together. So think acetic acid, vinegar, ethanol, alcohol.
Yep, there you go.
And mix them together and you get ethyl acetate, which is kind of somewhere around, it's like a sweeter aroma, kind of almost into that nail polish removal kind of realm, a little bit of funky. Yep. But like crazy things happen. So think about ethyl butyrate, ethanol and butyric acid, which smells like vomit.
Yep.
Combine those two, catalyze that reaction, and you get the smell of pineapples.
Right.
So really crazy stuff happens when you have a lot of esters and alcohols, or acids and alcohols. And so those longer fermentations create lots of those compounds, and then you get those wild flavors.
And then we get the funk, man.
Yeah.
There we go. And thank you for that quick explanation. We'll share a little bit more on the NOLA Drinks Facebook page. Really quickly, 10 seconds, Andrew. What's the street address?
2727 South Broad Street.
And website?
Roulaison.com. RULAISON.
Check it out, friends, and we hope to see you there on Sunday. I know I will be there. Come on out. Friends, next week we'll be back on the NOLA Drinks Show. Got some good guests lined up for you. Going to be talking about Gulf Coast restoration and a service industry fundraiser and some other stuff. Thanks for tuning in this week. I really appreciate it. And until then, cheers, y'all.